Hi there, Sean here. Before we get into this week's episode, a very quick thank you for listening to The Expansive. Please consider subscribing to the show if you haven't done so already. Simply hit the follow button inside the player you're currently listening on. Doesn't cost you anything, and it's guaranteed to make us smile, which makes your opposable thumbs pretty powerful, if you ask me. If you happen to be listening on Spotify, go ahead and scroll down to the Q&A section and let us know what you thought of the episode. You can also engage with us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok. Simply search for The Expansive Podcast and follow along. You can also watch this episode on our YouTube channel. All of the links can be found in the show notes. You're about to listen to episode 174 of The Expansive Podcast, hosted by Eric Kruger and John Sarnay.
Hi, and welcome to The Expansive Podcast, where we explore the frontiers of personal growth, business innovation, and technology. We believe that growth and progress comes from expanding our minds, exploring new possibilities, and embracing change. I forgot to say that we are also an award-nominated podcast.
Do you have to keep saying award nominated? It's getting tired now. People listening will be like, still nominated?
Well,
and look, if we lose, we'll just say nominated forever.
Someone is listening to this pod today for the first time and they're going, wow, this is an award nominated.
They're
pod.
Nominated.
That's really cool. Yeah. So as always, my name is Eric and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Mr. John Sarnay. John, you are in Qatar today.
I am in Qatar. I've just finished giving a talk for the government this morning. It went really well. What wonderful, warm people they are here. Really so friendly. I've been enthralled by the hospitality and the warmth of the people. And so Qatar is so optimistic, just very similar to Saudi, actually. There's a huge optimism in the air. There's such a bright future ahead. They're really engaging with the world in very open arms. And so it's been fantastic to be here. I'm on my way at an airport in the next hour and then back to Cape Town. I've got a gig there on Friday. But
What's the weather like there? Because your hair looks quite frizzy to me.
Yeah, so for everybody off air, I was complaining to Eric that every time I go to a new city, my hair changes. Now, for the ladies out there, you'll share this with me because your hair changes personality in dry weather and moist weather and whatever, humid weather. So my hair is fine, Eric. Thank you so much for asking. I appreciate it. It's looking good.
Today, we are continuing our conversation and our interview with ChatGPT. So in our previous episode, we went to ChatGPT and we asked it essentially to interview us based on its best knowledge of the pod. And so it gave us 5 questions. We got through some of them in the previous round and people really enjoyed it. So, and I think it's because it's a bit more personal, you know, it's not just about the things we know, but about our experiences that we've had. So today we are going to continue with about 2 or 3 more questions from ChatGPT.
And just off the cuff, I have no idea what these questions are. I've come in blind, so don't blindside me, Eric.
Well, here we go. Let's see how blindsided you are. Personal development often involves setting and achieving goals. Can you describe a personal or professional goal you recently set for yourselves and how are you working towards achieving it? So you want to kick us off?
So a personal or a professional, or shall I do both, I guess?
Yeah.
I'm going to do both. I'll go both.
It says or.
I'm going to go and. It's my podcast. Cool. Thanks for coming to it, Eric. It's wonderful to have you here. I think personal development obviously has been very, very high on my agenda since I went bankrupt. Back when I was 30 years old, I found myself unhappy when I had no money. And I was unhappy when I had lots of money because I just wanted a bit more. And then I was unhappy when I had no money again. So that really kicked it off. But I think personal development is really not about a goal. It's much more about a system. It's how much more seamless and untriggered can my life be? That's kind of what I'm always aiming at, is how do I find more peace and more calming of the heart and clarity in my mind? And what has always gotten me there over the last few years is meditation and becoming an advanced meditator, which Dr. Joe explains as meditating more than 3 or 4 hours a week, which I do, has been an unbelievable gradual process to finding myself naturally and calmly committing to a 2-hour meditation, like not even flinching on it. and being quite happy to sit there with it. And when I fly, and you know this, is when I fly, I meditate for hours because I'm just playing with it because I really don't have anywhere to be. And that's been an incredible, and it's funny because I don't think I've ever spoken about it or even put it to words, but it's been an incredible realization of my fitness with the ability to be still. And that is such a...
Love that. Yeah,
I didn't know I wanted to even do it. And now I'm doing it. I'm like, wow, I can do this. This is not something I thought I would because I'm so high energy. But there I am. I can also sit there for a couple hours and just be quiet, you know. And that's been a really, really great thing. So on a personal development, it's about finding more stillness and doing what I need to. Family constellation, also a very big one for me. Lots of therapy. I mean, I have many coaches. We've spoken about that as well. And then the professional one, and I think the one that comes to mind for me is having an A-lister speaking bureau in America to represent me. And the speaking bureau world in America is massive. The speaking industry is worth $4 billion. And to have a top-notch agency not only represent me, but having a fantastic relationship with them, which I do with the ladies there, Karis and Gail and everybody at GDA Speakers, that's been such a win for me, you know, having somebody in my corner proud to be working with me in a faraway land, going out the way, promising on my behalf that I'll deliver. It's just been again, I don't think I've actually even put this to words. It's just been such an awakening to the potential of what is available there and having them in my corner has been a really, really beautiful thing. So yeah, those are my two.
Cool. I love it. So on my side, I'll also go personal and then professional. So I must say, actually, you know, it's meditation is a strange thing once you get into it because there's this initial period where you really struggle to meditate. And, you know, you'll hear all the things that we've spoken about before. You know, my mind is too busy. I'm too that. I can't focus. And then once you persevere through that, you get to the state where you realize that when you go without meditation, it almost feels like you're kind of out of sorts. And this morning, so Danica is away at the moment. She's in Germany visiting her family. So it's just me and the two pups at home. And I was lying in bed, and I never do my meditations in bed, but I was in bed. I was up early, and both the pups jumped onto the bed. Like they were both resting their heads, like, you know, on my chest. And I was meditating. I was like, this is bliss. You know, it's like, I could feel the pressure from their heads on my chest. I was busy with like dispenser meditation. I was like, oh man. So, I did two meditations in one go. I did the first one, which is that changing boxes one. And then after I was done, I was like, I feel like I still need to go a bit more. And I did the generating flow one. So it's interesting how your relationship with meditation changes over time as you persevere with it and as you start seeing the effects that it has in your life. So
it's so you know yeah, it's almost like an antithesis or it's like I don't know what do you call it an oxymoron I don't know what these I wasn't good at school, but you seek you ambitious to find stillness. It's like what you're rushing something, not that you're rushing, but you are kind of like I'm ambitious in wanting to meditate, and then when I get there, I'm like, oh, I'm just meditating to be still. Okay, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I also read something amazing the other day. It said, the point of meditation is not to meditate more and more. It's to find yourself in a life that doesn't need meditation. And I thought, wow, okay, yeah. I'm not quite there yet. I'm still aiming at longer because that blissful state is just fantastic. It's a beautiful thing. I'm so glad that you're on the mission and my pleasure. Also my pleasure. Anyway, let's keep moving.
So my personal goal actually outside of that is just to create a contained time to work on my mind, because what I've also realized, and you know, I spoke about thinking in glances quite a bit at some point, which is just this idea that we feel like we are always in the process of developing ourselves because we are confronted with content about personal development. And so you go through your day, you go through a few TikToks, you go through Instagram, you see a few memes. And as you read those things, you feel like there's a bit of a dopamine hit because you feel like, oh, like I'm learning something. But actually, when you go back a few days later, you realize that you've not internalized that message at all. It's completely gone out the window.
Yeah.
And so I've just been trying to be very mindful in creating a container for me to sit down and read, like actually sit down and read a book properly and summarize that. I'm creating content maps, actually. So like I'm sitting down, I'm reading it slowly. I'm putting it onto summarizing it as I go. And I feel what that has been doing for me is slowing me down, making me read a bit deeper, and making me reflect more on what I am reading. And so it's boosting my knowledge, but it's doing so in a very methodical way. So that's been a personal goal of mine.
I love it. You know, it's like embodying the knowledge rather than just being knowledge. Yeah, I mean, embodiment of it is such an important thing, because your body has this intelligence of finding habits and pattern repetition and pattern recognition. And by us embodying it is just I think it's essential almost, you know, acting it out in many ways.
So that's personal goal. Professional goal, I've actually recently... So, you know, one thing that I've always had a bit of a knack for is writing a daily email, sitting down, writing something very concise and getting it out into the world. And for a long time, I wrote Better Man, which was going out to 18,000 men. Recently, I've decided to write a new one called The Daily Leader. And so the goal for me around that has been, so Better Man at its height, 18,000 daily readers. The goal for me with The Daily Leader is to get to that same volume over time, but to within the year be ending on about 1,500 to 2,000 daily readers. So not just people on the list, but people who are actively reading it every single day. And it's been fascinating getting back into it. Like immediately, you know, I've been in flow. I think that's been a big part of it, because you have this responsibility that every day, you know, I'm going to have to put something out and people are waiting for it. But more than that, I've already started receiving so many testimonials and people saying how much it's impacting them every single day. And that was always something I loved the most about writing the daily email, was that it wasn't just sending out an email, it was actually
the feedback,
two-way communication. Yeah, and I remember some days, reflecting now, it's actually crazy, that I would send out an email, because I was still doing physio at the time, and I'd send out the email at 7 o'clock in the morning, every morning. By the time I got to my practice, you know, at about 8 o'clock, I would literally have like 300-400 replies in my inbox.
Wow.
If I asked, if I said, like, if it was a specific sort of reply to this thing today kind of thing. And I'm starting to see that same level of engagement with leaders and people asking me to refer it on.
Love it.
So that's been amazing. So that's my professional goal that I'm very focused on at the moment.
That's brilliant.
All right.
I love that. Okay.
That wraps number one. Question number two. In your interactions with diverse individuals and leaders worldwide, is there a particular story or encounter that stands out as especially inspiring or transformative? How did it impact your own perspective?
Oh, I've got one. I know exactly.
Go for it.
Big ups to Michael Ten Hope. And Michael Ten Hope, what a mensch. Just a fantastic leader, fantastic man. I just always want to just hug him. You know, he's such a good guy. And he owned a very big business in the multiple, I think maybe multiple billions, but definitely a billion. And one of the businesses he had hired me to come and do strategy sessions. I didn't know who he was. The CEO of that specific company and I were friends. We started chatting. They realized they needed some help. They brought me in. And Michael Ten Hope arrives at the meeting. And I meet with him very, very low key. You know, he's not like this big chairman of a business, or right, very calm, relaxed. He comes onto the boardroom table and he sits in the middle, not at the head, in the middle of the table. So I said to him, I was like, Michael, you're not sitting at the head of the table. He's like, I avoid them at all costs. And it was such a drastic difference, because at the same time, I'd had another client, and that client, the CEO, would sit on the end of the table with his hands over his head like this and rock his chair backwards, like the gorilla of the office. And Michael was very calm, very quiet, would sit in the middle of the table and would not speak until everybody had spoken, and he would summarize everybody's ideas and then give it a slight direction. So everybody felt heard. He didn't bolster anybody. He didn't bully anybody. He didn't push his agenda. He summarized the room's agenda and then gave it his slight sort of like, and I just thought to myself, wow. Like, I was like, wow. This was many years ago. It was maybe, I don't know, 7 years ago. So I was like, wow, I've never seen a leader like this, you know? So he taught me soft power. You know, I think very similar to what Barack Obama showed me. The first time I saw Barack Obama speaking, I thought to myself, oh my God, there's a guy here that is able to really get the world to like open up the world in a calm manner. Calm, like very relaxed. In fact, Trevor Noah, when he did a skit on Barack Obama, he didn't know if he was going to speak again or not. He's like, and then we're gonna, he's so calm. And Michael Tenop was exactly the same. So Michael Tenop, if you or your wife, Cherie, are listening, big up to you, my man. I have always been a fan since you've did that.
A great story. I was watching Jocko Willink. He has a new masterclass out and I just saw the trailer for it. And he said the three most important things for a leader to have is humility, humility, and humility.
Okay.
So I think that pairs well. My story is slightly different. And I actually made a video about it today. And that's maybe, it's just top of mind for me. You know, this year I've been talking a lot about teamwork. And there's a paper that I read that spoke about the criticality of teamwork, which I like. And when I just graduated, I graduated as a physiotherapist. And I spent most of my initial few years working in intensive care units across different hospitals. And so obviously what happens is over the time, I've treated thousands of patients. And there are always a few that stand out for you. And one lady that stands out, I remember coming to her bed that morning. And obviously in ICU, the charts are always on the outside and the patients on the inside. So I come up to her room. I go to the chart. And on the chart, it just says multiple GSW. You know what that stands for?
No.
Multiple gunshot wounds.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So like you kind of know what you're in for, but I go into the room, she's intubated, she's out of it, machine's going off. I speak to the nurse and she tells me what happened was that the previous day, this lady came home from work on a day just like any other day. And as she pulled into a garage, three guys slipped in underneath in an attempt to hijack her.
Mm.
And they didn't get to take the car. But what they did manage to do was to shoot her four times. And three of those bullets went into her chest. One went into her jaw. So by the time I arrived at her bedside, she'd been into surgery. They'd stabilized her. But they also, it was the first time that I saw it, but they had sewn her jaw shut. It's the same, like if you break an arm, you need to immobilize it. The bullet fractured her jaw, so they needed to immobilize that too. And we couldn't even touch her that day because she was so unstable. You know, she had arrhythmias, her blood pressure was up and down. And so I remember her so vividly still today. The upside of the story is that 12 weeks later, she walked out of that hospital. She was smiling. She had her friends and her family with her. She had been given a second lease on life, you know?
Wow.
And what got her to that point wasn't just one person or one discipline. It was the fact that we had all of these specialists and experts come together as a team to get her to the other side. So the surgeons stabilized her. The nurses looked after her 24/7, making sure she had her medication and her vitals were checked and all those things. The physios mobilized her. The occupational therapists made sure that she could get to her activities of daily living. The dietitian made sure that she was well-nourished so she could heal. The psychologists were helping her to process her trauma. And so you have this team that comes together to get her to the other side. But yet, when you look at the way that we were trained as healthcare professionals, there was no training around collaboration or what it means to be part of a team at all.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, zero. And what's interesting to me today, obviously sitting in this seat where I'm working with leaders all the time, is that when you look at the research, a lot of the research that happens around teamwork happens in a healthcare setting. Why? Because in this instance, it worked. You know, we got it to the other side. But there are many, 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 many stories about teamwork that fails and then people die, you know? But so fast forward a bit and I'm out of healthcare. I do my master's. I get involved into business. And as I enter the business space, I think surely businesses have this figured out because business is a team sport. And of course, they don't. Not even close. And the realization for me is that there are always stakes attached to this. Like we have to get teamwork right because in healthcare, the stakes are that people might die, like you might lose a life. But in the business setting, there are also stakes, and that stakes, or the stakes are that you could lose livelihoods. Because if a team doesn't perform, a business doesn't do well, and a business that doesn't do well can't support the people inside of the business.
Absolutely.
And so there are real stakes attached to this, but we don't spend enough time thinking about how do we train people to be good in a team.
Collaboration, yes.
Yeah, exactly. We expect them just to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
And they did that in the healthcare setting with us. We do this in businesses. And so when I think back to the story of this lady, you know, she demonstrates for me the importance of getting this kind of stuff right. And I can think of other instances in businesses as well. But she, I guess I was recently reflecting a lot on that. And it made me just become so much more aware of the impact that leaders have and that teams have and the responsibility that we have to get this right.
Love it.
So that is, that's my story.
Great. Okay. Great. I love it. Yeah.
Thank you. Last one. And then we'll give ChatGPT a bit of a break from interviewing us. So okay. Last one. Outside of your professional endeavors, what are some of your personal passions or hobbies that bring you joy and fulfillment? How do you find time to pursue these interests amidst your busy schedules?
The number one thing that you and I share in our favorite pastimes is taking dogs for walks. There's nothing.
Yes.
It makes me feel emotional. To be honest, bro, let me tell you, to this day, and I left Cape Town years ago, to this day, I still get a hotel that's close to Bean so I can go get Bean to go for a walk. That is my priority. Mm. It's the weirdest thing. It's like I crave her energy next to me. And when we're walking on the prom, we just have this amazing energetic connection. And I do it constantly, as often as I can. And it's actually made her dad and I very good friends because of this relationship I have with her. So for me, I think the first thing is walking. I don't know, as I'm getting older, I just crave walking. And if I'm in a place that I can't walk, it frustrates me. And so I try and walk a lot every day and then obviously listen to pods or whatever it is. It's my learning space. But to walk with a dog, it's one of the many gifts of life that many people don't realize, that we have these angels in fur. Sure. That are able to...
Land angels, yeah.
Land angels, man. They're able to recalibrate our hearts, recalibrate our energy. Oh, man, they're just the best things in the world. So... for me, walking, number one. Number two, walking with a dog. And look, after I do a very long walk with a dog and I go, that's it, man. That was it. I won at that game. What are yours?
Yeah. So obviously I agree with you on that. And my two, like they pester me. Hey, like their time is so set by now that when it's 11-ish, you know, they become a little bit restless.
Restless.
And, yeah. And by 12 o'clock, like they're shouting at me that it's time to go.
Yeah.
So yeah, 12 to 1 in my diary is blocked out. You can't book anything into that. The only exception is when we sometimes have to record a pod maybe, but like that also doesn't happen all that often. So that time for me is sacred, that I get to go out with them. It's good for my soul just to be out in nature because we get to walk in the Helderberg. But also just to spend time with them in that way is great. Outside of that, what else do I do? Other hobbies for me, paddle, obviously. I play a lot. I didn't even tell you this. We went to play a competition where I came second. So just to prove my paddle prowess to you.
Wait. How many people in the competition? Two.
Two. Yeah. Two. No, they were like 16 people.
And was it a girls competition or was it a guys
It was actually an advanced men's Americano.
That's so amazing. Was it? At the blind school? No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. No more. I'm stopping.
You can keep going.
Yes.
Wow, that's so brave. The levels, I'm very impressed. I'm impressed.
Okay, so...
Look, I must tell you, this is what sports does to men, though.
Yes.
Like, I haven't played a paddle game and not been chirped.
Yes,
so, like,
yes.
This is just part of
what
happens.
What's wrong with us? Why do we do this? I don't know why. I don't chirp either until this comes up and I start chirping. I don't know why. Anyway, yeah. You came second. That's amazing. Yeah, okay. Is that with Yaku? with Yaku?
This was actually an individual one where you just switch and then they tell you your scores. But we're playing a mixed one on Thursday. I've been getting everyone into Paddle, and one of my clients who joined Paddle snapped his Achilles.
Oi.
So, yeah. And then one other thing that people won't know about me is that I collect knives. That's another hobby that I have.
Bro, that's so funny. I didn't know that because you gave me a knife for your wedding.
Really?
I've still got your knife, bro. I've still got it. It's in my...
Oh, good.
It's in my...
Thank you.
I mean, I can't travel with it.
It was a wedding gift.
I know. It's in my box in Cape Town. I'm not getting rid of it. But... Yeah, I didn't know you.
Yeah, I have
knives.
A bit of an obsession with knives.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weakness. If my impulse purchases often go to knives, so
that is so.
But I've also become better with the impulse purchases.
Yeah, I mean, because your wife pulled that leash on you, bro. That's what happened. You had a family chat. That's what happened. See, listen to this. You see what that was? That was my hand being slapped at your wife with Eric, stop spending our money. Eric, you can't pay the bills with your TikTok videos.
That's so funny.
You're spending our money. Okay.
All right. I think that's the pod.
A disaster. We're gonna end on a low. We're gonna keep it on a low.
Everyone, thank you so much for joining us as always. It is always such a pleasure to have you listen in to the conversation and to be a part of it. If you wanted to leave a review, then we always appreciate you heading over to iTunes to leave us a review on the pod. But also, let us know what you think of it. We love taking recommendations, hearing about your suggestions. You can reach us pretty much everywhere on socials, either John or myself or The Expansive. We are on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, you'll find us.
I think another way of saying what Eric is saying is we're 180 episodes in. We don't know what else to talk about. So we took an initial strategy of not having guests on our podcast, and we were like, and it works because it's a great banter. But you know, 3 years in, 180 episodes, like it's like an old married couple. You're like, okay, Eric, what are you going to talk about today? Like, what's the deal today? So we're actually quite literally looking for ideas. You know, if you think you want to be interviewed on the pod, let us know why. If you think we should interview somebody, tell us why and who they are. If you think there's a topic that we haven't spoken about or is a topic that we want to expand on, please tell us, because it will be a wonderful community sort of subject or topics that we can put together that we can all unpack and research and just learn together. And so, you know, it's really just about asking you to jump in and help us make it even more entertaining for you. We really do love it that everybody's listening. And, you know, again, I had a friend from Dubai message me and say, you know, my husband and I listen to your pod. And I'm like, no way. I had no idea. So Nazli, what's up, man? Look forward to seeing you. She owns a business called Six Pack Revolution, I think. So a little bit of a punt for her and her hubby. So yeah, and they listened to the pod. I was like, wow, how strange. You know, it's like such a, always delightful. So yeah, give us some topics and we'd love to unpack them for you. If you think this podcast will help somebody, please do share it with them. And until next week, ciao.